Hello, good morning. Welcome to Witness Radio program, Know Your Land and Environmental Rights. My name is Rita Vavidye, proud Msoga. On that note, I don't want to make others jealous, and I don't want, some of you may think, Mluganda, Tue Kovanye, me and my guest, our council, since we are both Vasoga. But I read somewhere in the Bible, wise men from the East. You really had a very wonderful night, and we thank the Lord for today. We thank the Lord for each and everything that He has done in our lives, and hope He speeds up whatever that we are praying for in whatever that we are actually going to do. So, I'd like to welcome you once again and thank you for listening to Witness Radio. Thank you for tuning into Witness Radio. You're really doing a very, very good job. And I would like to welcome our council, as usual, the proud Msoga, the proud Basogas. All the knowledge is coming from her. You can imagine now. Okay, I won't talk too much. Council, you're very welcome.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you're doing well. Like Rita said, my name is Blirali Joan, and I'm glad to be here to share knowledge with you, and thanks for staying tuned in to our program, as you know, your land and environmental rights. Please just keep staying tuned in until we actually achieve our aim of fighting or advocating for our land rights. Thank you very much.
Okay, that is Councillor Joan Bulierali for you. So I have to emphasize the other part of the name. You know, today is all about bragging a little bit, putting in some little bit of pride. But when you come back, we are going to start right away.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Do you want to tune into Witness Radio? Go to Play Store on your phone, type Witness Radio. You will see the application, download it, and start listening to Witness Radio. You can also visit our website on www.witnessradio.org. Click live on your PC's right hand, then click the button in the middle. Then listen to Witness Radio and learn all issues about land and environmental protection.
You're listening to Witness Radio Broadcast Program.
Welcome back from that short break. We are proudly sponsored by Witness Radio. And kindly, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Like, share, and comment. And click the notification bell. So anytime we upload an episode, you will be notified. Council, you're welcome. I won't waste more of the time. I want us to start right away. But, as I always tell you, get a pen and a paper so that we can write down some of these things. Council, you're welcome.
Welcome back from that short break, and thank you, Rita. As our dear listeners, I am well aware that Rita has given you a recap of what we actually discussed in our last episode. So today, we are focusing so much on what led to the enactment of the National Land Policy, and just to let you know, after the annulating need to have a public dialogue on land rights, land administration, and land governance, while noting that Uganda is making almost a decade in implementing the National Land Policy, making it vital for stakeholders to take stock of the National Land Policy 2013 in addressing land inequalities. So because of that, we all know that land is central to enhancing the livelihoods of Uganda. However, the sector is faced with land inequality, which manifests in different aspects and determines the stability of the livelihoods of Ugandans, and this resulting in an increasingly popularized land and agri-food system. So because of that, the National Land Forum, on 16th and 17th of November 2022, and due to the fact that the current land system does not adequately address security of tenure and access which we believe are very critical attributes of using land as a means of eliminating inequality. They had to sit down and see that there is a law or a policy that can be implemented to see, to actually fill the gap of the inequalities that are in the land system in Uganda. So, talking about the land, the National Land Policy, what is it? What is the National Land Policy? What is it? So the National Land Policy of Uganda, which was approved by Cabinet in February 2013, and has not yet been passed as a law in the sense of a formal act of parliament, but it was developed through extensive consultations and aimed to guide land use and management in Uganda. Of course, it remains a policy document rather than a legally binding policy that some people use, you know, to see that it solves the issues of inequalities that are in the land system. So the Uganda Land Policy of 2013 was explicitly designed to address a series of structure and normative gaps in the existing Land Act, CAP 227 and the one for 1998, and related legislations that regulate land management in Uganda. So basically, just briefly, that is what the Uganda National Land Policy is all about. And so after this short break, we'll be coming back to expound more or explain more on how or which inequalities it has been able to tackle ever since its formulation. So we'll be discussing about what are the inequalities that are in the land system that the National Land Policy ought to address. The first one is the rigid and incomplete tenure definitions. In the Land Act that we have, the Land Act classifies tenure into four categories. We have freehold, leasehold, milo, and customary, but defines each in terms of generalities, with little scope of adaptation to changing social, technological, or market conditions. So this rigidity drives the expansion of informal and secondary land rights outside the statutory what? Systems. So the National Land Policy amends the Land Act and other laws to allow tenure regimes to evolve and develop appropriate incidents in response to changes in social, culture, technologies of land use and market demands. It also calls for strengthening the legitimacy of socially and culturally acceptable tenure systems and explicitly recognizing women's and vulnerable groups' rights across all regimes. So in our next episode, we will expound more on how it allows tenure regimes to evolve and develop appropriate incidents in response to changes in social structures, technologies of land use and market demands.
Council, on that note, we are going in for a short break. We shall be right back.
Farmers, do you want to learn essential agricultural practices and benefit from your land? Look no further. Tune in to Witness Radio for expert knowledge and guidance.
Do you have any information in regards to land grabbing? Or you're aware of any person who has been evicted and their property destroyed because of land disputes? Report to Witness Radio through our numbers 0414-697-221 or WhatsApp 0745-965-765, or you can report directly to our website on www.witnessradio.org. Just click on the map, follow the direction, click on the map indicating the individuals and the land being grabbed. Click on that word, report evictions. Then report any victim of land evictions. Thereafter, search for your area of residence on that map. Click your area of residence, then a red dot will indicate. Click the red dot and fill in the form, then save your input. Don't forget to attach the picture of the grabbed land in question, then upload it to send.
listening to Witness Radio.
The new online radio that makes you happy.
You're listening to Witness Radio Broadcast Program.
Welcome back from that break. Once again, those that are having issues with land and environmental rights, kindly, you can call on our number, which is 041-4697-221, and we shall answer you. And for those that would like to join the conversation on 07-4596-5765, and that is our WhatsApp number. Send in a text, send in an audio, ask questions so that you'll be answered. Counsel, you're welcome once again.
Welcome back from that short break, and thank you, Rita. So another one is lack of categorization by purpose and ownership. So with the Land Act, the tenure is only classified by legal form, statutory versus customary, and duration, perpetual versus lease. So there is no statutory distinction between private, public, or government land. And with the National Land Policy, it introduces in law a threefold categorization of private land, public land, and government land, and defines each in detail to confer social, economic, environmental, and political security to owners, occupiers, and users. So we'll also expand more on that. So the overlap overlaps the gaps and conflicts in institutional mandates. With the Land Act, multiple agencies, e.g. the Land Registry, Land Commission, local councils, environmental authorities, have unclear overlapping responsibilities for land administration and resource management, leading to regulatory gaps and conflicts. And then when it comes to the National Land Policy, it clarifies and harmonizes agency mandates to remove overlaps, gaps and conflicts, and establish a harmonized and integrated institutional framework for land use, stewardship, and resource management. Weak land, it also looks at weak land information and dispute systems. So the Land Act, the existing registration system is fragmented, survey and mapping are uneven, and formal dispute resolution mechanisms are costly and slow, often driving parties into informal or customary dispute resolutions. So, and when it comes to National Land Policy, it develops a comprehensive land information system, strengthening demarcation, surveying, and mapping, and it improves dispute resolution by integrating customary and statutory mechanisms under clear guidelines. This one also is very important when it comes to also compulsory land acquisition, where it is kind of trying to remove the fact that when you refuse to get money, the government takes money to court. But now here with the National Land Policy, you can actually go and report to, there's chance for reporting or for lodging a complaint in case you're not okay with what? With the process of compulsory land acquisition. Gender, it also addresses the issue of gender and vulnerability, blind spots. With the Land Act, although the Constitution guarantees non-discrimination, the Land Act does not provide detailed mechanisms to secure women's, children, or other vulnerable groups' rights in practice, which is not the case in the National Land Policy, because this one, it mandates recognition, strengthening, and education on the rights of women, children, and other vulnerable groups in all tenure regimes, and ensure that no land transfer denies any person rights in land based on gender. So it is very, very, very important. It has really tried to fix a lot of gaps. So absence of integral land use planning and regulations. In the Land Act, there is no binding framework for land use planning, zoning, or environmental conservation. Development often proceeds without environmental impact assessments or coordinations with other sectors, e.g. agriculture, infrastructure, climate, resilience, which is not the case with the National Land Policy, because for it requires land use standards and regulatory powers for the state to ensure compliance with physical planning guidelines, which integrate land use with agriculture, environment, and settlement planning, and also enforce mandatory environmental impact assessments for land-based projects. So this helps for companies that want to establish industries in wetlands to know what to do, or not to establish something in an environment that is not favorable for whatever you want to establish. So in a summary way, what I can really say is the 2013 National Land Policy aimed to address gaps in the Land Act by promoting equitable land access, sustainable land management, and strengthening land tenure security. It also focused on creating a streamlined land sector to boost agriculture, industrial, and other productive sectors. Specifically, the policy sought to equalize customary land tenure with other systems, facilitate its recognition, and ensure women's secure rights and access to land. So basically, those are the good things that the issues or the gaps that the National Land Policy felt like that the land actors or the land sector, inclusive of the Ministry of Lands, people that the organizations that work with land-related issues, found that, you know, those are the gaps that we are lacking in the what? In the Land Act, and they felt like, you know, they needed them to be addressed, and now they are addressed in the National Land Policy. Thanks for listening to us. Stay tuned in. See you when you see me.
All right. That has been all for today. And thank you so much, Councillor Joanne. And thank you to our dear listeners. Thank you for listening to Witness Radio. I can't thank you enough. You know, you do a lot. Yoka data, you know. I get the pain, but you're like, no, I have to listen to this program and learn something from it. And hopefully out there we are doing some great job by educating you on these land laws and environment laws, what you should do so that we are not called victims and so that we don't fall victims of this. And I'd like to say, until next time, I'm still your host, Rita Babidi. Until next time, have a great day and a blessed one.